Psalm chapter 23. What a wonderful day, beautiful day. Thank God for another day to live. Amen. Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, come on, let's just make a commitment today. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to keep serving God. I'm going to keep walking with Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Well, we see you, Brittany. Now come and talk to us about the Good Shepherd. Hallelujah. The Good Shepherd, as opposed to the Bad Shepherd. I suppose there's some bad shepherds who neglect the sheep, who don't feed the sheep and don't lead them to water and don't protect them from the enemy, but we're not talking about the bad shepherd. We're talking about the good shepherd. The 23rd Psalm is one of the most beloved passages in the whole Bible. People have memorized and recited it for, well, thousands of years now. Many have lived by it and even died by it. With these same words written by David, the last to ever come from their lips. No doubt there was many lost people over the years who have come to themselves in a dreadful place, and something brought them back to a Sunday school class where they learned the 23rd Psalm. How many soldiers on the battlefield were able to face danger and even death because they had peace from David's song? Only heaven knows how many funerals have been comforted by the message of the Good Shepherd caring for us. Imagine with me today when David sang it for the first time. It could have been a cold and starry night there in Judea, looking up the stars, and oh, they seemed so close to him in the night sky. He felt as if he could reach up and gather them with his own hand. The day of grazing and the search for water was now over, and the sheep huddled together asleep in a stone enclosure. But the shepherd's work was not done. And as always, he kept a wary eye open for wild animals, and the coals of the campfire glowed red as they were fanned by the night breeze. Perhaps he played a few notes on a shepherd's harp, and David's heart raced with joy as he thought of God's presence there with him in that lonely place. Those feelings gave way to a song, and he began to sing, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." Who would have thought that those words would be so precious to millions upon millions some 3,000 years later? Oh, the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is one of the most beautiful pictures painted by the Word of God. That relationship is shown throughout the Bible to illustrate God and his relationship and care for us. The first part of Isaiah 53 and 6 declares, "All we like sheep have gone astray." But here's the thing, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, he's reaching for us. He's come to save us. He's come to find us. He's come to love us and to bring us home with him. There's a good shepherd that's looking for you. There's a good shepherd that's reaching for me. If we've not met the good shepherd today, if we've not come to him yet for salvation, for protection, for care, there's no better day that would happen than right now today. If we've not surrendered to him, we're in great danger. We'll be forever lost without him. But as he's reaching today, we've just got to surrender and say, Lord, my life is yours. Lord, have your way in me. Have your way in me. David talks about the benefits we get from the good shepherd. Not only are there great rewards in the good times, but there's also wonderful benefits in times of trouble. As a pastor, sometimes I'm preaching to those who are going through things. They've been fighting spiritual battles and they've been coming against fear and depression and attacks from the enemy. And there's other times that I'm directed by the Lord to encourage those who are on the mountaintop. They've experienced victory and joy and great things and we worship and praise God for all that he's done in our life. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what season you're in today. You might be on the mountaintop or you might be going through a valley, but there's a good shepherd who cares for you. There's a good shepherd that leads you. The good shepherd reaches for us wherever we are. Oh, the Lord is our shepherd. What does he do? What does a shepherd do? He cares for the sheep. He leads them. He directs them. He guides them. He takes them to good pastures. He nourishes them. He leads them away from trouble. When trouble comes to where they are, he stands up and protects the sheep. And the shepherd makes sure that the sheep have a good water supply. And they learn to trust the shepherd because they depend on him for everything they need. What a joy to realize that the Lord himself is our shepherd. Amen. What every shepherd does for their sheep, Jesus does for us. He cares so much for us. If we'll trust him, he will lead us. He will direct us. He will guide us. He'll protect us. God is everything we need. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. There's a lot of people in our world today. They're in major trouble because they have no shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd are totally helpless. They don't have any protection from their enemies. They don't know how to find their own food. They scatter easily when they don't have someone to lead them. And we're the same way. Oh, we try to find our own way, but we can make a mess of things, can't we? We think we've got it all figured out, but before long we're scattered and we're lost and we're in danger and we're harassed by predators and things that would destroy us. We're caught up in things that we don't know how to get out of. We're sheep. And sheep need a shepherd. Oh, I don't want to be scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. But I want to hear his voice today. I want to respond to his calling today. Lord, wherever you lead, that's where I'm going to go. That's where I'm going to follow. Keep, Lord, directing me. Keep guiding me. Keep leading me, Jesus. Even if it's through a valley, I'm still going to trust you. Enough of trying to find our own way. Enough of making it on our own. We need to realize today that we'll never find our own way to heaven. We'll only keep getting caught up in sin and in the things of the world and in the danger that will destroy us. We need a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Our shepherd sustains us. When we're his, we shall not want. In America, we're so blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. Even in bad economic times, we're blessed. Thank the Lord. Because we're so blessed, we often have a hard time knowing the difference between what we need and what we want. We may not actually need everything that we desire, but God promises we will not lack the things that we need. The world gets so stressed out trying to acquire everything we want. But there's peace in knowing the Lord is our shepherd and he's going to provide for our needs. Amen. The last time I looked around, most of us haven't missed too many meals. Somehow we've made it. Somehow God's cared for us. Somehow God's provided. I'm thankful that we can trust him to take care of us. Hallelujah. I might not have everything I really desire, but everything I need, God has made a way, and so much more. Oh, come on. God's been good to us. God's blessed us. God's cared for us. God's provided for us. Hallelujah. In financial stewardship, when we learn the lesson that God owns everything, God owns everything, and everything we have comes from God, it gives us peace and even joy to put God first in our finances. It's a joy to see when young people or even children get their first job and they start putting God first and they give their tithe, and you know, it may only be $10, but they're learning that $90 goes further with the Lord than $100 because you've put God first. The tithe is the Lord's. And so they give their tithe, and then they give their offering, which is beyond just what's God's. It may only be $5, but they're learning financial stewardship. And so we often think of the prophet Malachi when it comes to tithes and offerings. And chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." What a promise from the Lord. To prove him, to test him. There's really not another place in the Bible that says something exactly like this. Prove me, try me. It's as if God said, see if you can give to me and be poorer because of it. Just see if you can outgive me, and you can't, he says. And so I'm thankful for that promise, and many of us here today have lived according to that promise. But there's more to it than just financial blessings. Look at verse 11. He says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Not only will God open the windows of heaven to pour out blessings, but there's some things that he does to protect us when we put him first. He would destroy the locust before they ate the crops. They would be so blessed that the nations around them would see it and would know that they're God's people. How many times has the enemy meant something to destroy us, to destroy our job, to destroy our business, to destroy our finances, to destroy our family, our marriage? But because we've been faithful in putting God first, God says, "Oh no, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to stop what the enemy would do." The whole principle of tithe and offering is when we're faithful in putting God first, God is faithful to us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I challenge you today to prove God. Put him to the test and watch his faithfulness in your life. Psalm 23 and 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The Lord gives us rest. Rest. It's not something that our world knows much about. You think, oh, if I can just make it to my vacation. I got 7 days off of work and we're just going to have a wonderful time and I'm going to rest. And then we get on vacation. We go and get back to work and like, oh, I need another vacation from my vacation. God gives us rest. There's a peace that only comes from God. There's a comfort that only the Holy Ghost can bring. Amen. Sometimes sheep don't even know what they need, but the shepherd makes them lay down and rest. There's sometimes we may find ourselves and it's like we're stuck and we're not getting things to happen as fast as we want. Sometimes God's saying, I just want you to rest. I want to give you rest. God knows what we need, but the good shepherd cares for us. In Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, he says, sheep will not lie down easily unless four things are taken care of. Because sheep are timid, they will not lie down if they are afraid. Because they're social animals, they will not lie down if there's friction among the sheep. If flies or parasites are troubling them, they will not lie down. And finally, if the sheep are hungry, they won't lie down. Their rest only comes because the shepherd has dealt with fear, friction, flies, and famine. God knows what we need today. Before we even know it ourselves, he knows when we need rest. There's some situations that you know, the enemy may be trying to take us out, but there's other times that the Lord says, you know what, I'm just going to let you go through some things because I want you to rest. You're troubled in your spirit. You're anxious about some things. Stop worrying. I'm going to take you to some green pastures. I'm going to let me lead you by still waters. Let me give you rest. Let me refresh you. 23:3, it says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Rest and restoration. He restores my soul. He restoreth my soul. Aren't you thankful that God restores? Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that he makes things new? Hallelujah. A sheep can wander away from the rest, and the shepherd will leave the 99 to go find the one. It's that important to the shepherd, so it can be restored. And every one of us have been there before, where we've messed up, where we've sinned, where we've needed rescue. Oh, I pray God helps us have the same heart as the shepherd. To restore. Come on, to restore somebody. Galatians 6 and 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We should do our best to restore them to their former condition. I want to tell you, the church overall, we've got a great church, but the church overall has not always done this well. Many times, there's one of two extremes. Either people just ignore sin, pretend like it never happened, or they overreact too harshly against those who've messed up. There's a balance between the two. We've got to deal with sin, but then we're supposed to restore. And restoration should be a normal part of what we do as Christians. Instead, what many do is they can't wait to get on the Pentecostal hotline. Hey, did you hear what so-and-so did? Can you believe what they're doing? Did you see on Facebook what happened? That's not restoration. Sometimes people don't want to be restored. That's one thing. But when they're ready, when they're saying, I've got to get back, I've got to make things right, they better not find a church that says, oh, I'm going to talk about them and I'm going to destroy them with my words. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's some things that should not come out of our mouth. There's some things that nobody knows. Nobody needs to know that. It's junk. Stuff we don't need to repeat. And I'm talking to a great youth group here, but I want to tell you, at times the enemy can work. And he can get us talking. And he can say, well, you know, somebody's backslid and here they come back to the church, but oh, did you, yeah, they really made a mess of that. And yeah, and we can get to talking about it and what we're doing. We're not restoring. The Word of God says, ye which are spiritual, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Because what happens is when we don't restore, and we're looking at someone in judgment, and we're spreading all the juiciest gossip and all of that, we don't realize the door it's opening in our own life to the enemy to come in and destroy us. Come on, we better get this. It's the church's job to restore. It's the church's job to restore. Young people, when people come in from the world, when backsliders come back, I want them to find a youth group that says, hey, we love you. I know you've messed up, but that's okay. We're all sinners. We've all got to make things right. We've all got to live for God. Come on, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to stand in judgment against you, but I'm going to be spiritual about this. I'm not going to repeat all the juicy gossip, but I'm going to say, you know what? I'm here for you. I love you. I'm going to restore because there may be a day that I need restoration. God leads us into rest and restoration. And oh, what a comfort verse 4 has given to so many. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I want to tell you, it's not sunny every single day. We're not on the top of the mountain all the time. It's not always green pastures and still waters and paths of righteousness. Sometimes there's storms. Sometimes we'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but the Lord is still our shepherd. Hallelujah. The Lord is still our shepherd. And in that valley, we're surrounded. We're hedged in. We're in shadows. David said the shadow of death. With that valley experience comes fearfulness and darkness and gloom and despair. It's a scary place to be. It's not one that any of us would choose to go through. But the fact is, the shepherd is leading us, and that makes it bearable. Oh, I wouldn't want to go through it without the Lord. But when he's with me, when he's taking us through, we can trust him. And I can know that we're going to come through. If the Lord doesn't come quickly, we're all going to face death. Just a fact of life. But even in death, we're his. We don't walk alone. Jesus has already walked this way. He's already come this path. He knows what's ahead, and I can trust him. I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Maybe we've been trying to face things alone today and with our own strength. Maybe we've been walking in some dreadful places, but it's been all by ourselves because we weren't following the shepherd. We were just trying to go the way we wanted to go. Well, I want to tell you, the shepherd's calling our name today. Hallelujah. He's reaching for us. If we'll follow him, it's not that there will never be valleys, but he'll take us through the valley. He'll bring us through trouble. He'll be with us in darkness. Fear is a real thing today. People are panic attacks, anxiety attacks. If we tried to list all of the different fears that people have, it would take pages and pages and pages, and we'd still not get them all. Both young people and old people can have fear. Fear is debilitating. It keeps people from living normal and productive lives. But every person who's ever been used by God has had to fight a battle with fear. Because it's one of the main ways the enemy holds us back. When we're fearful, we don't walk forward in faith. When we're fearful, we don't push forward into the things that God is leading us into, but we hold back with fear. It's debilitating. Luke, 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear is tormenting, but the love of God casts out fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's not God's will that we be bound by fear. We don't have to carry something that God didn't give us. The good shepherd wants us to walk without fear. Hallelujah. David also wrote in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Somebody needs to claim that promise today. You need to stand on the word of God and say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God is with me even in the valley. The Lord, the shepherd, is with me. Goes on, verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. There's a table in the presence of our enemies. Nobody likes to have enemies. But if we're going to live for God, there's going to be enemies. Amen. If we're going to be friends with God, there will be those who won't be friends with us. But God is going to give us peace in front of our enemies, so much so that we can sit down and we can eat at his table, to enjoy his blessings, to take in what he's prepared for us. In that day, it was customary. They would anoint the head with oil, just like we would wash our face. It was that common. They would anoint the head with oil. They would pour oil on the head. It smelled good. It would help with the hair. It was refreshing. How confusing is it to the enemy when he's trying to take us out and he's throwing everything he can at us, but here we are, blessed, taken care of by God, peaceful, because God is with us. We're enjoying the blessings of God right in the presence of our enemies. We're anointed, we're refreshed, we're restored, and our cup runs over. Oh, what a way to describe the blessings of God. Not only is the cup full, but there's more than enough. There's more than we can contain. There's more blessings than we can handle. He opens up the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. My cup runs over. I don't know about you, but God's been good to me. God's blessed me. God's provided. God's helped me. God's healed my body. God's touched my mind. My cup runs over. And then that last verse, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. You can tell those who've lived their life for God and those who haven't. There's a difference. You can see it. You can feel it. goodness and mercy follow those who follow the good shepherd. Just look at their family. Look at their life. The blessings of God have been poured out upon us. Oh, don't miss out on what God wants to do for your family. Don't miss out on the blessings that God has. Oh, when we turn away from the world and we follow Him, it's not worth it to stop following the shepherd. It's not worth it to forsake the things of God. It's not worth it to get sideways with the church, our brothers and sisters. And no, this is the place God's called us to be. We need the church. We need the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11, he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. But I'm the good shepherd, he says, and know my sheep and have known of mine. Would you stand with me in closing today? Hallelujah. It's actually very interesting that the Lord would call himself the good shepherd. In Bible days, the shepherd was considered the lowest of all career choices. If a family had multiple kids and they needed a shepherd, it was always the youngest son. Think about David. They'd banish the youngest out to go take care of the sheep. But the God of the universe has stepped down to be our shepherd. He cares for us. He leads us. He protects us. I'm thankful. See, there's some times that I thought I knew which way to go. I just stepped off thinking, I want to make this happen. Before long, I realized I wasn't following the shepherd. I was just blazing my own trail. Oh, if we realize that today, we better get back as fast as we can. Sometimes people think, well, I've got a lot of stuff to fix before I come back to the Lord. Let me get everything worked out, and then I'll come back to Jesus. Let me get rid of a bunch of sin in my life and then I'll come to church. That's the wrong way to do it. Because we'll be struggling. We can't overcome those things on our own. Just come back. Let the shepherd deal with that stuff. He'll work. He'll move. Amen. I tell people all the time, just keep coming to church. Just keep coming to church. I know you're not perfect. I know you might have messed up last night. You might have messed up this morning. But just keep coming to church, because there will be a moment that God's Spirit reaches for you. There will be a moment in that service where deliverance happens. There'll be a moment where the power of the Holy Ghost starts to work and move, and the Good Shepherd will make a way. Just keep coming back to the Lord. Today I'm reaching for somebody who's been struggling to make it on your own. But you're like that little lost sheep. You're out there in the darkness and the danger. But here's the thing. The good shepherd has left the sheepfold and he's coming out to get you. Oh, don't run from his voice. Amen. Don't turn and run when he's calling your name, but say, Lord, here I am. You found me and I need you desperately, Lord. Amen. I wonder if we could gather around this altar today and say, Lord, I need you. I need your Spirit, God. Lord, forgive me of all of my sin. Forgive me of everything I've done that was wrong, Lord. I pray that you would cleanse my heart today. I pray that you would make me new. God, I need restoration. I need restoration today, Lord. I need you to make me new. I need you, Lord, to cleanse my heart and cleanse my mind. And Lord, I want to live the way you want me to live. I want to follow the leading of your Spirit, God. I want to be sensitive to your voice. Oh, you're my shepherd, Lord, and I want to hear your voice. I want to know your voice. I want to know the leading of your Spirit, God. Direct me, God. Help me, Jesus. Come on, would you reach out to the Lord? He's reaching for you. Would you reach out to the Lord? Don't worry about everybody else right now, but just you and God. Would you lift up your hands? Would you reach out to him and say, Lord, here I am. I need you, God. I need your help. I need your strength, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, work in me.